Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of Refresh Podcast. Man, it is so exciting to be back with you guys. I know I've slacked in a few weeks, and I'm really sorry. I was just going through some personal things. I was just kind of struggling, get my butt kicked, but I am back, and it is amazing to be back with you guys. Thank you so much for showing all of your love and support up to this journey so far. We've been doing Refresh Podcast for a little over 2 years now, and God has really just done some incredible things through this podcast, has touched many hearts, has reached people in so many different nations, and it is just absolutely incredible. It blows my mind away to know that there are people in 5 different nationalities that are listening to this podcast and are receiving the gospel and an encouraging word, and I'm just so grateful for that. So once again, just thank you so much, guys, for all of your love and support. I could not do this without you guys. Without you, I would just be a little man that loves Jesus talking to himself, right? So without further ado, welcome to the Refresh Podcast. I am your host, the Muffin Man. And so let's go ahead and open up in prayer. We're going to jump into our message for today. Father, I just thank you so much for this amazing time that we have to just join together. God, I pray that you'd prepare the hearts and the ears of your viewers, of your listeners that are listening to this message. God, I pray that it would be seeds that would be deeply enrooted into our hearts, and that when the harvest comes, there would be so many amazing fruit from this message. God, I thank you for what you're wanting to do in this place right here, right now, today. And Father, we just make room for you to move. Father, we welcome you in. Father, we invite you in. And God, we just give you the highest praise because you're so worthy. Father, we thank you and we speak these things to life in Jesus's name. Amen. Once again, guys, it is such a pleasure to be back. So this is actually the last episode of season 2. So next time you'll be viewing in, we're going to be on season 3, which is so insane, absolutely incredible. And we're going to be starting a brand new series today. And that series is called When the Answer is No. I'm going to say that one more time. When the answer is no. So I'm going to give you guys, let me catch you up to speed what's going on here before we jump into this message. So we're going to be reading in 2 Samuel 12, but this is what happens in 2 Samuel 11, and this is known as David's great sin. In 2 Samuel 11, David's great sin takes place, and that being the adulterous affair with Bathsheba. Because of this affair, you know, and you guys all know Bathsheba, but in case you don't, David is, you know, big chilling, and he sees this woman, you know, taking a bath on the rooftop, and he is filled with lust, and he can't look away, and he begins to lust to where he wants this woman. He ends up getting her. He has an affair with her, and she conceives a child for David. David tries to cover up his sin by having the woman's husband lay with her to look like it's his child. He refuses to leave his homies on the battlefield, and David ends up having him killed in battle. So David tries to cover up his sin to the best of his ability, but obviously, you know, God being all powerful and all knowing, he sees it, right? And I'm sure that's a huge facepalm moment whenever David actually came to a place of reconciliation. He's probably like, "Toy," you know, like, what was they thinking? You know, so this brings you up to speed of where we're going to be reading at in 2 Samuel 12. Now, I'm going to be reading a lot today, guys. So do just bear with me. I am building a foundation for such an incredible series that we're going to be starting. And so in 2 Samuel 12, the first 4 verses, this is Nathan the prophet, and he comes to David to rebuke him. And he tells him the story of this lamb that a poor person had. And this guy and his family absolutely loved their lamb very much, that this lamb would spend time with them. And this lamb became a pet, almost like we would have here in America, almost like we would have here in this day and age, like a pet cat or pet dog. They had their pet lamb. So this lamb, you know, ate with them and slept with them. And you know, it was very loved. And they had this rich man that was throwing this party, and he needed a lamb to eat. And so he goes in and he takes the poor man's lamb and he has it slain and he prepares it for the party. So when David hears this, he is so bewildered. And he is like, this man must immediately be punished. Now, time out. We understand that David was a shepherd before he was a king. So he had that soft spot for those lambs. He knew what it was like to condition the lamb. And he knew what it was like to take care of the lamb. You know, I'm sure in that moment he had a flashback of those days in the field. Okay, so time in. So in verses 7 to 12, we hear the consequences of David's sin. And let's read a little bit of that so we can see what's going on. Nathan then said to David, "You are the man." From this story, thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, had taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of the Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel and under the sun. And immediately, and then it says, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also taken away your sin, and you shall not die. So we see in verse 13 that God forgives David of his sins, but there is still a consequence of David's sin. In verse 14, it says that the child of the affair between David and Bathsheba would die. It says it like this, however, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die. Now remember this, okay? This is a word from God that the child that would be born to you will surely die, okay? Now, David, therefore, it says in verse 16, that David therefore inquired of God for the child, and David fasted, and he went and laid all night on the ground. You know, it was probably like something like, come on, God, please don't do this. God, please change your mind. Come on, God, look, I'm fasting, God. Look, come on, I am here pressing into you. God, please change your mind. But it goes on to say in scripture that on the seventh day, the child died. And in verse 19, because the servants did not want to break the news to David, they felt like they were going to make things worse if they told David exactly what happened to the child. In verse 19, David asks them, is the child dead? And in verse 20, because they told him, yeah, the child's dead. So it says in verse 20, so David arose from the ground. He washed, he anointed himself, and he changed his clothes, and he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. The servants were so confused when they saw that David was in a better place. You know, they were like, how can you be the same David right now? How can you be the David that was literally just laying on his face in his sackcloth, fasting and weeping and pleading and begging before God to be able to spare the child, but now look at you, you're clean and you're well dressed and you're eating and you're all excited and you're worshiping God like, oh God, you're so good. And in verse 22, it says, he said, while the child was still alive, I have fasted and wept, for I said, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live. Verse 23, but now he has died, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Now, I know that was a lot of scripture, but I wanted to build a solid foundation for our message today. I want to ask you a question. What if the answer is no? What if the answer is no? What if what you've been asking for isn't actually beneficial to your life? What if the person you're asking God to marry turns into divorce several months later? What if the answer is no? How do you respond to that? How do you respond if God said no? You know, one of the best things that my parents have ever done for me was telling me no. There have been a lot of times in my life where I've wanted something. You know, there's been many times in my life to where, you know, before I had a job and before I had money, you know, I'd be in the store with my dad and be like, "Dad, can I get some hot peanuts?" And I know that's something that sounds so simple, you know, and there'd be times that he'd say, no, you can't have any, or no, you can't get any. And I could probably hang my head. There's probably times where I was like, "Hey, Dad, can I get this?" And he's like, "No." "Can I get Mountain Dew?" "No." "Can I get this? "No." You know, "Can I get this game?" "No." You know, I remember one time specifically, I was a really young child. I was probably like 2 or 3 years old, and I was highly obsessed with Blue's Clues. I loved Blue's Clues so much. And I was in the store. I saw this incredible Blue's Clues toy, and I remember asking for it, and I wanted it, and my dad told me no, that he couldn't, and I cried, and I screamed, and I was so burdened at that time that I was probably falling apart in the mindset of my 2-3-0, to where my dad had to write a check for something that he couldn't really afford, but he had to make a way because he didn't want me to be upset, right? You know, but there's been a lot of times in my life that I have been told no. You know, I wanted to hang out with people and my mom said no. That, you know, I wanted to do this and my mom said no. You know, and in that moment of time, I was incredibly disappointed. In that moment of time, I was really upset and I was really angry. But you know what? You know what happens if you're told yes all the time? What happens if the answer is yes all the time? Destruction. You get yourself into some pretty crazy situations if the answer is yes all the time. And if you don't learn what no means, then you find yourself in such a weird place. No is healthy. And I want you to know that God says no sometimes. But look, hear me out. I really want you to hear me out. Don't click off of this podcast. Don't get upset. Don't get offensive. No is an answer. Let's be real. No is an answer. You know, we ask God for answers to our prayers and he says no. And then we're all like, "No? God, did you just tell me no? Wait. Hold up, there's no way." It's like we begin to treat God like a magic eight ball, like we grab a magic eight ball and we shake it again and we're like, "Come on, God, this is really what I want to do." And God's like, "No, not likely." We're like, "No, come on, God, like you don't understand. Like I want to go here. Like this is what I want to build my life to be. Like this is the person I want to be." And he's like, "Uncertain. The answer is no." Guys, you know, there's been so many times in my life where God has said no, and I did not respond to that in such a kind way. In fact, there's been times where God said no, and I said yes, and I went with my yes, and you know, I looked like a fool. I was broken, I was beaten, I was embarrassed, I was depressed, I sold parts of myself that I'll never get back, because I said yes when God said no. Guys, sometimes when God says no, we need to listen. We need to listen to that. David sinned. David's consequence of that sin was that the child would die. David knew God's heart. David was no stranger to God's spirit. He knew that fasting and prayer was a way to see change and breakthrough. But God's answer was fulfilled as spoken through the prophet Nathan. The answer is no. The child will die. And I love David's response. You know, David responds in such an incredible way to God's answer of no. In fact, this is what we're going to be studying over the next few weeks, his response to God's answer of no. In verse 20, it says, "So David arose from the ground. He washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he came into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. And then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate." See, David didn't leave God's presence. You know, whenever the answer is no, David didn't say, "I'm done with this. God, you're on your own. You can go find you another king, or I'm not going to listen to you." Or no, he didn't leave God's presence. You know, he didn't renounce his faith. He didn't say, "You know what, God's not really anymore. You know what, I'm just not really feeling this Christianity thing anymore. You know what, I'm just not really feeling this life with God anymore. It's just not for me. It's just not for me. There's something else." No, he didn't say that. You know, he didn't, sure as heck didn't turn to witchcraft to try to bring the baby back. He didn't get angry and he didn't rebel. But instead it says that David got up. David washed up. David anointed himself. David changed his clothes. And he went to God's house and he worshiped and he ate. David moved on. He understood that God said no, and that answer was infinite. Now, the question is, how are you going to respond when God says no? See, I have a recommendation for you. Replace David's name with your own and read that aloud. And I'll use mine. And I encourage you to do this with your own as I do this with mine. You ready? "So Jason arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate." See, because God's told me no before, it wasn't the end of the world. At the time, it may have felt like it, but I was able to work through it and see that God had a better plan ahead of me. And we know that it goes on to say in this same passage that then David goes and lays with Bathsheba because she is now his wife. He went and lay with her, and she gave birth to a son, and he named him Solomon. And we know that Solomon goes on to exceed the legacy of David. He goes to carry on the torch of David. He goes to build the temple of God. He goes to be one of the wisest kings in existence. He goes to write Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, all those great books of the Bible. But imagine if David would have stayed where he was, paralyzed in fear, paralyzed in his past, you know, weeping and mourning and depressed over the no that God gave him. But instead he got up and he washed himself and he anointed himself and he worshiped and he ate and he began to move on. Sometimes, guys, when God says no, there's a far better outcome than we can ever imagine. See, when God says no, how do you respond? Our new series is coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to talk about it's time to get up, it's time to wash up, it's time to anoint ourselves, it's time to worship, and it's time to eat. When the answer is no, guys, it's time for us to get up, to dig into God's presence, to thank him for shutting that opportunity down, because we know that when God closes a door, it is a door that no man could ever open. But when God opens the door, it is such a great reward waiting for us that we have to go there, because God has the best things for us in this life. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this incredible opportunity to minister to the hearts of men and women that are seeking you more and more every day. God, I pray that you would just help their hearts to develop and to transition more and more into the image of Christ each and every day. God, as they begin to say no to themselves and say yes to you, God, I pray that you would just help them to just surrender their will, to surrender their agenda, to surrender their way of doing things, and to position their heart to where
yours is, that they could begin to be discipled and ministered to. God, that every day that they would be reminded that you are the potter and they are the clay, and you're molding them and you're shaping them and you're creating them in your image each and every day. God, I pray that whenever we go to you and we're seeking you for direction and clarity in our lives, God, that there are some moments where you say no about certain things that we want to do. God, I'm so thankful that you say no. God, I'm so grateful that you say no and that you help us to shut down opportunities that don't need to be explored, things that only bring our hearts to a distance from yours. God, I'm so grateful that no is a healthy word. God, I pray that you would help us to digest it in a better way. God, that whenever you say no, that we can be appreciative, that we can give you thanks, and that we can get cleaned up, that we can get washed up, that God, that we can just surround ourselves in your presence, God, that we can begin to progress forward in our life and pursue the things that you say yes about. God, I thank you so much for the men and women that are listening to this podcast episode. God, I pray that you would just do abundant and incredible things in their lives as they parallel their hearts with yours. God, we can be encouraged to seek first the kingdom above all things, knowing that when we seek you more importantly than anything else we can ever do, God, that you are the increase. God, that you add everything it is that we're lacking. God, that you are our great reward, that you are our great desire. God, that you are our investment that we are building in, because your kingdom is above all things. God, that when we seek you, we find joy and we find peace. God, that you are so great. And God, there is no one here on earth that has the authority or power to take you away from us. God, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your passion. I thank you exactly for who you are. God, we give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before so we can bring you another refreshing word. This has been your boy, the Muffin Man, with another amazing word. I cannot wait to be back with you guys again when we start our brand new series, when we start our brand new season. Once more, thank you so much for all your love and support. Much love, guys. With that being said and done, take it easy. Don't be cheesy. Enjoy the rest of your Monday morning. I love you guys so much. Have a good day.